know what that sound means. It's another exciting installment of the Fan Brawl Season podcast, where we talk local sports, both the Atlanta Pro franchises, like the Braves, Hawks, Falcons, and we also talk the University of Georgia Bulldogs. So strap in, guys. It's another exciting episode about to start right now. What's up, podcast land? It's your host, Jam and Joe of the Fan for All Seasons podcast. And so, after last week, we took for Thanksgiving break. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, enjoyed quality time with family and friends, got to watch a lot of football. Rivalry weekend was great. Georgia took care of business against the North Avenue Trade School, beating Georgia Tech 31-23. It never gets old beating Tech. In fact, I have a stat, guys. Since 2001, Georgia is 19-3 against the North Avenue Nerds. Georgia is absolutely owned this rivalry. And another stat that'll make Georgia fans feel better. Anyway, I just wanted to drop some knowledge about Georgia beating Tech because it never gets old. It's my favorite thing. I also want to give some pub to the University of Georgia Bulldog basketball team, as the Dogs have a big game coming up tomorrow night at the Florida State Seminoles, a part of the new revamped SEC-ACC Challenge. It was formerly called the SEC Big 12 Challenge that has since been dissolved, and it is now the SEC-ACC Challenge, which honestly to me makes so much sense. It's going to be really cool to watch the Bulldogs take on a really talented team in Florida State. And that is a 9:15 tip-off for watching the University of Georgia Bulldog basketball team take on the Florida State Seminoles. I'm very excited to watch that tomorrow night. So I wanted to give some pub to Georgia beating Tech and to the Georgia-Florida State game coming up on Wednesday night. But the main reason that I'm excited about this episode this week, guys, we're going to preview the 2023 SEC Football Championship between the Alabama Crimson Tide and your two-time back-to-back defending national champion University of Georgia Bulldogs. It's going to be a great matchup. We've seen this movie before. Saban against Kirby. It'll be a great game coming up on Saturday. We've got a great guest of the week that we'll be talking to. We'll be connecting with via the Fan for All Seasons fan line here in 1 second. But before we get into the Georgia and Alabama preview, it's time to get a word from our sponsor. And Fan for All Seasons is brought to you in part by Georgia Smoke Barbecue, authentic original oak smoked barbecue catering. You can learn more at georgiasmoke.com. So we'll be connecting with our guest of the week via the Fan for All Seasons fan line here in 1 second. And Fan for All Season fans, we're back. We've connected with our guest of the week this week via the Fan for All Seasons fan line. And so I am bringing on for my guest of the week a guy who has a connection to both of these schools. My friend, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Bill Van Orman. Bill, welcome back to Fan for All Seasons.
Well, good to talk to you, Joe. It's always a pleasure to be on, and we got an exciting Saturday coming up from a football standpoint anyway. Glad to talk about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as I teased in the beginning, Bill, you have a connection to both Alabama and Georgia. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of said conversation, for our new listeners, would you mind giving us your connection to both the University of Alabama and the University of Georgia?
Well, being an old guy, 60 years old, I went to the University of Alabama and played golf there from 81 to 86. And then my family moved down to Athens, Georgia from Connecticut in 1987, so not too long after I got out of school. So I, even though I still work up in New York for 6 months of the year, I still live in Athens in the winter. So I've become a real Georgia fan, being that I've now lived here. I guess that would make it like 35 years now. And when as long as Alabama's not involved, I would consider myself a huge Georgia fan. It's just that the problem with Alabama and Georgia now, from my standpoint, is we don't meet each other very often. You know, once every 7 years, I guess the way it's been. But We've been meeting more often lately, and when it does, it has huge consequences, as it does again on Saturday. So that's kind of tough to stomach, you know?
It really is. And as someone who has a connection to both sides, do you look at this as like a win-win for yourself either way?
I do, yeah. I mean, it was when 17, the game, you know, where Georgia looked like they had us and Tua hit the second and 26. I was almost rooting for Georgia then because we had won 4 in 7 years or 8 years or whatever. And, you know, Georgia Kirby had been in his second year and looked good. So I was almost rooting for Georgia at that point. Don't tell anybody. Hopefully nobody that I know is listening. But now I'm almost the other way. You know, Georgia's won 2 in a row, and all I hear is, you know, Alabama's done and all this. So the ideal scenario would be where we would both get in again and maybe play in the championship game. And in that sense, it's definitely I win both ways.
No doubt.
Already Alabama's gone farther than I thought they would this year, and a lot of people thought. But definitely, I'll be happy either way.
For sure, for sure. And Bill, why don't we start with talking about your alma mater? And I want to get things started with the Iron Bowl. I know the Iron Bowl is a huge, huge rivalry game for the state of Alabama. So as an Alabama guy, Bill, where does that Iron Bowl rank that we just witnessed on Saturday for you in your history of watching the Iron Bowl between Alabama and Auburn?
Well, wow, Joe. I mean, it might be the top moment. You know, when I was in college, unfortunately, that was when the Iron Bowl was always in Birmingham. So, you know, we didn't play on home campuses. And I was there for a long way, Bo, which I think was 85. And I was there for Van Tiffin hit the 50 whatever yard field goal. And then, of course, kick six was 10 years ago. And this one, to me, erases. This is our kick six. This ending on Saturday, to me, equals, you know, kick six. That just, you know, because that team was on the way to playing for a championship as well until that happened. So I would say, just being that it was last week and what it possibly means, I would say this is probably number one for me right now. Anyway, it was just unbelievable that they won that game.
I still can't believe it happened. I really can't. I got to be completely honest with you, Bill. I saw almost none of the game because I was coming in to Atlanta for the Georgia Tech game Saturday night. But I heard about it on the MARTA train, and then I heard about it when I got inside of Mark Rick Field there in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was sitting there in the stands, and there's somebody watching the game on their phone, and they're just like, "You're not going to believe this." And so they had to, like, explain to me what was going on, and I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Joe, the game was over. I mean, it was over. You know, we punted, and you know, the guy slipped before he kind of, as he was catching the punt, and dropped it. We recovered, and then we went backwards, which kind of reminded me of when Tua hit second and 26. You know, they had that, he got sacked for like 15 yards.
Right.
You know, we had a bad snap that apparently Auburn was clapping, and that's what threw the center off. That on film, I guess one of the safeties was clapping, which should have been penalized. But anyway, same scenario. We went backwards. You know, what do we have it on the 20-yard line, I think. But the game was over. You know, 4th and 31. I read something where the guy Darinoka said that Power 5 over the last 10 years are 0-for-90 going into that of 4th and more than 30 yards. But now it's 1-for-91. So, you know, it's just a total shock.
No doubt. No doubt, Bill. So keeping with talking about your alma mater, the Alabama Crimson Tide, I want to get your thoughts on Jalen Milroe. Where have you seen Milroe grow from, let's say, the Texas game to now?
Well, you know, I was saying this in the beginning of the year. You know, after the Texas game, it was all doom and gloom, and it's over. And, I mean, you got to, you know, you don't just, you know, this is the same reason rookies, for the most part, rookie quarterbacks don't aren't stars in the NFL for the same reason. I mean, you just don't, no matter how long you've been in a program, you know, you've been in Alabama for 2 years, but played just in mop-up duty. You know, you're not going to just jump in and be polished and be, you know, be all that, you know, that early in your career. So I was saying it all along. I said, you know, maybe we're not going to do anything this year. We might lose 3 games, but he's going to get better. He's obviously an elite athlete. Heard about, you know, the 2 years he's been there, some of the things he's done in practice with his both his legs and his arm. You got to let him play. And, you know, that's exactly what's happened. I mean, he's just developed, and the offensive line's gotten better, and, you know, it just, you know, he's not a rookie quarterback anymore. He's got 12 games as the starter, 11 games as the starter now, and he's learning how to play as he goes. So I think that, you know, that him developing like that has sort of brought the whole offense up to, you know, compared to what they were before Texas to what they are, you know, what they are now. And, you know, he's probably 90% of it.
A couple more topics here talking about Alabama with you, Bill. The next topic I want to talk with you about, the last conversation you and I had in regards to Alabama and the offensive line, you were very concerned about Alabama's offensive line. Where have you seen Alabama's offensive line grow and take steps from October to now?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it's the same thing. You know, that left tackle, the kid they flipped from Iowa, Proctor, you know, just a pure 18-year-old, or I think he was 17 when he got on campus, you know, pure freshman playing left tackle, arguably, you know, the most important part on the line for a right-handed quarterback anyway. And same thing, you know, he had been to camp, he was an early enrollee, but, you know, rarely does somebody instantly make a huge impact like that. So, you know, and so much of the offensive line is communication and being familiar with your other linemen, and you're just not going to have that. It's going to take time for that to develop. And listening to, you know, sort of Coach Saban, what he said, you know, that's kind of what's happened. So you look at all the sacks, you know, they were allowing 4, 5, and 6 sacks. Now the last 4 games, it's been, you know, I think 0, 0, and 1 each the last 2 games. So, and they're running the ball better, and you know, part of that is Milroe. You know, it looks like they've added a package to where they're, you know, doing more, you know, where he's running a little bit more, which certainly helps. But, you know, I think they're just gelling as a group, you know, just spending time together like that.
Definitely, definitely. And, Bill, you brought up something interesting about Milroe and his ability to run. Does that concern you? With his ability to escape and his ability to run, that, like, you know, maybe one big hit and he could be down. Does that concern you at all with his running? Or
does, and being that you didn't see the game, there was a play there two plays before the 4th and 31, he went on a 19-yard, whatever it was, 2nd or 3rd and 20, he scrambled for 19 yards. And he took a huge hit right on the sideline, ended up 1 yard short. But the defensive back is the one that was laying on the ground. Milroe never went down. So, yeah, you worry about it, but he's a big dude, Joe. I mean, he's 6'2", 220. You know, he's probably, you know, Jalen Hurts size. And I remember hearing stories about Jalen Hurts, you know, his weight room, you know, performance, like he was the strongest guy on the team. And I hear Milroe is kind of the same way, that he's one of the strongest guys on the team, he's the fastest guy on the team. And so, yeah, you worry about it, but if you notice, he's sort of sliding more and you know, trying to sort of avoid the big hits a little bit, but I think it's that running ability and allowing that into the offense a little more is one of the big reasons why they look so much better. So it's probably, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, right. But yeah, you worry about it, but he's an awfully big, strong guy.
The final topic, excuse me, that we're going to talk about in terms of your alma mater, Bill, is about Nick Saban. And Nick Saban has done extremely well throughout his time in Alabama and has had a lot of great success. Could this be Saban's best coaching job since taking over the reins at Alabama way back in 2008?
Well, that's interesting, Joe. I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday, and I definitely think so. I think Kirby as well. I think Saban and Kirby, you know, with Kirby losing, what, 25 players in the draft over the last 2 years, and Saban, you know, don't have a quarterback, lose both coordinators, you know, which he's used to, I guess. But I agree, and I know they don't want to give the award to Saban or Kirby because, you know, the perception is they always have the best players. But I think one or the other should probably get the coach of the year. And the other thing with Saban is I think he really is having fun with his team. You know, maybe because the expectations weren't as high. And remember seeing an interview with him where, like, last year, you know, every game they won, it was more relief than it was joy to winning.
Right.
And, you know, he said this, he really likes this team. He really likes their personality. He really likes their stick-to-itiveness and how they're, you know, they've been trailing. You know, they've trailed in five of their SEC games in the second half. So I would agree with you. I think it probably is his best job, and I think he's probably having as much or more fun just listening to what he says than maybe he has in a long time as well.
For sure. So now, Bill, we're going to transition to the University of Georgia, talking all things Georgia Bulldogs with you here. So on that subject, you mentioned Kirby and how you see Kirby, either Kirby or Nick, winning the award. Talk to me about what you've seen from Kirby Smart with this Georgia team in 2023?
It's funny. I was talking to Andy Landers, the old women's basketball coach at Georgia, and he ran into and had dinner with Jim Donnan about, maybe 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. And Donnan told Andy, he said, Kirby told him the first five games they played this year, they didn't really even scout their opponents. They were all about developing, you know, because they had so many new players, developing, working on themselves, getting better. And Kirby told Donnan, said, but watch out. After the first five or six games, watch out. And Andy was telling my dad and I this. And when you look at it, that's exactly what happened, is they just sort of, you know, all of a sudden they sort of figured it out, I guess, because, you know, they have a lot of new players. I mean, you know, it's not much different than the Alabama situation, really.
Right.
Zach had been there maybe a year longer than Milroe as quarterback, but Kirby, I watch all their news conferences, you know, both Saban and Kirby at the end of the games, and,
yeah,
you know, like Kirby said, Carson Beck's been doing what he's doing now in practice since he's been at Georgia 3 years. So, you know, it is interesting, but I think Kirby's done an unbelievable job. I mean, he's just done an unbelievable job. And, you know, it's, you know, you hear it, the word culture, you know, and it's thrown around at the programs like Georgia and Alabama. And I think it's just, you know, they've got that culture, that sort of thing you can't put your finger on, but guys, you know, come in and it's one man, next man up sort of mentality, no excuses. And, you know, that's just what they look like. And like I said, I think he's done an unbelievable job, you know, with all the players they lost, you know?
For sure, for sure. He really has. He really has. You mentioned Carson Beck, Bill. From what you've seen, what has stood out to you about Carson Beck in his first full season as starting quarterback for the University of Georgia?
Hey, the thing that surprised me the most, Joe, and again, you know, none of us had watched him that much, but you never heard about his scrambling ability. That dude's got some legs, you know? He's big, he's you know, he's more the prototypical drop-back body, but he's made some unbelievable runs and scrambles, and that's the thing that, you know, the thing that, that's sort of a dimension that they never really talked about in relation to him. And if you remember, he was committed to Alabama originally, so I remember, you know, when he came out of high school, I always followed recruiting and you know, the scouting reports and all that, and, you know, he was the prototypical pro-style quarterback coming out of high school. But it's amazing, you know, watching him. I mean, I can't think of specific plays, but in every game, he's got two or three, you know, these, you know, 15-yard scrambles that you just, you know, sort of a dimension that nobody really talked about with him. And the guy's, you know, the guy, you could see him, you know, he looks all, he can process things fast. A lot of times you'll see him look at three different receivers, and he's got an unbelievable arm. So, I mean, you know, I think he, you know, he ought to be in New York for the Heisman ceremony. If he's not going to be, he really should be. He's had some year.
He absolutely should. He absolutely should. And, Bill, I'm not sure if you knew this nugget about number 15 for the University of Georgia, Mr. Beck, but coming out of high school, he was a big-time high school baseball product, and there was talk about him maybe getting drafted in the major leagues. Apparently, Beck could get a fastball up to, like, 93, 94 miles an hour. Beck's got a rocking arm.
I remember that because I remember Alabama, that one of the reasons that he committed to them is they were going to let him play baseball. And I'm not sure what happened at Georgia, if the Georgia did the same thing, if they were going to let him. But I do remember, I didn't remember him being able to throw it that hard, but I do remember he was a baseball, he looks like a pitcher, doesn't he? I mean,
yeah, he
you
does.
Know, that arm and that size, and he looked pretty opposing on the mound throwing, you know, throwing heat like that. But the guy is obviously an incredible athlete. I mean, he's obviously just a fantastic athlete. I hope he comes back for another year, but he's something else.
He really is. He really is. So, Bill, I want to get your thoughts on another couple skill guys for the University of Georgia. One of those being Brock Bowers. This is Brock's third year in the program, and we've seen Brock, you know, really blossom and develop into arguably, in my opinion, the most dynamic player in college football. And before Brock got hurt, you know, there was a lot of talk about him with the Heisman Trophy. What has stood out to you about watching Brock Bowers year three for the Dogs?
It's pretty unbelievable because he's definitely better now than he was, you know, 2 years ago as a freshman, which is amazing because you and I both remember how good he was and the impact he had, you know, as a freshman. And, you know, I really think, you know, because the talk was really starting to heat up right before he got hurt about, hey, you know, this is probably the best player in college football right now, having the most impact on his team, which, you know, really, to me, is what the Heisman Award is. It shouldn't have any, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. So I think from what I heard, he's fine for Saturday. I guess there was something about the wet field over there with Tech that they were scared to play him. But, I heard he's okay for Saturday, which would have been a shame if he wouldn't have been able to play because, you know, the guy's just been so good for so long. And boy, the 3 years goes fast. Just yesterday, he was a freshman, and nobody knew who he was. And he probably is. I mean, he'll be one of the all timers in the NFL by the time he's done, I think.
No doubt. And Bill, you mentioned his first game way, way back his freshman year. From what I remember, that was Clemson in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the week before that game, I do a Georgia football preview pod every year, and I had Logan Booker on from 960 The Ref, the flagship of the Dogs in Athens. And I said, Logan, who is a young Georgia Bulldog football player that fans need to keep an eye on? And he said, Joe, we got this tight end from Napa, California, Brock Bowers, keep an eye on him. And I remember that first game against Clemson, he had like 4 or 5 catches, just, you know, making first downs, making plays. And I'm like, he's huge and, like, has that type of catch radius and is fast. I mean, and just like that, he just caught on like a house of fire.
That's amazing. I don't remember that specific game, but I remember that he, you know, he made a big impact early. And, you know, he's just unbelievable. He doesn't look like he's that fast, but he's always open, and he runs wide receiver routes a lot of the time, you know, and he's a big body. I mean, he's one of those guys, you can line him up outside, you can line him up inside, he blocks. I mean, he basically does everything. It's almost a disservice to call him a tight end because he's really not just a tight end. I mean, I didn't remember that Clemson game, but I do remember him right out of the blocks. you know, that first year, just lighten it up in his first few games.
No doubt, Bill, no doubt. So, Bill, I want to flip things over to the Georgia defense really quick. So what have you seen from this group so far in 2023? I know Georgia's has lost some guys due to the draft and has had some young guys on this defense, but we've really seen this Georgia defense come together. What have your thoughts been?
Yeah, I don't think they're as good as they've been. You know, I've got kind of the same concerns with Georgia and Alabama. You know, both their last games, they got the ball run down their throat. I mean, I think Georgia Tech ran for close to 300 yards. Auburn ran it down Alabama's throat. So, you know, that part worries me a little bit. I think the secondary was always going to be sort of the strong point, and that they certainly have been. And I think they're right up there in the lead in the nation as far as getting off the field on third down. You know, they're well over 50%, which is really a telling statistic. So, you know, it's been a little bend but don't break at times, I think, look with them. But they seem to win. They seem to be able to turn it on when it matters, sort of, you know, in the same vein as Alabama. So, you know, you got to give them the nod that they've been able to do that, you know, 29 games in a row. So, but I don't think they're as good. I don't think they're as imposing. The line is good, but probably not as good. But you know, they're still an elite, probably the best defense, you know, the best defense around. They just, you know, had a pretty high standard the 2 years before to live up to. And they're probably not quite there. But then, you know, the linebackers they lost, Nolan Smith, you know, those are hard shoes to fill, you know, with a young guy. You know, the young guy will develop into that, but it's hard to replace that.
No doubt, no doubt. So, Bill, we're going to play a little word association, Georgia and Alabama style. Alabama wins the SEC championship if?
One word would have to be surprise for me.
Alabama loses the SEC championship if?
Well, it's not one word, but sad, but a great season.
Georgia wins the SEC championship if?
Well, again, not one word, but I think it's the national championship game, to be honest. Saturday is the national championship game. They beat Alabama. They roll to the title.
Georgia loses the SEC championship if?
Still in the playoffs.
Wow, okay. That's an interesting thought. I want to dig in on that. So you think if Alabama does Georgia, you think Georgia's still in?
You know, I don't know how you, I know you're not supposed to, you know, last year or the year before, it doesn't have anything to do with it, but I don't know how you take them out. I honestly, Joe, I think Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and Alabama are the four best teams. If we were truly putting the four best teams in the playoff, those would be the four teams. And I just think no matter what happens on Saturday, Georgia, I think they're going to be in. Now, Texas could lose. Sounds like, you know, they're talking how the Pac-10, you know, the Pac-12 championship game is whoever wins is in. I don't know if that's true or not. I think Florida State's out no matter what. I just don't think they would put them in. So, you know, it'll be Michigan, Georgia. If Alabama won, I think it would be Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, and then probably Texas. Or if Texas loses, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think Georgia's going to be in no matter what. I really do. And I think Alabama's in if they win. I hear all this talk about if Alabama wins, they got to jump Texas. I just don't know how you keep the SEC champ out of the playoffs. So, you know, I think Alabama's in if they win. I think Georgia's in either way.
Well, I agree with you about that. I think, I mean, obviously Georgia is in if they win. And I feel like if it's a close game and if it's tight, I feel like both Georgia and Bama may get in. I know the committee doesn't want that because of the fatigue factor. And I've heard committee people like Boo Corrigan say stuff like that. They don't look at the past. How can you not look at the past of what Georgia's done? Winning 29 straight games, back-to-back defending national. I mean, all that speaks for itself, Bill. And then you look at Alabama, too. I mean, those two, along with Michigan and maybe Texas/Ohio State, those are the four best teams in college football. I don't think Florida State is one of the best teams in college football. And I'm not basing it all off the Jordan Travis injury. I just think that there are teams that are better than Florida State and better than the Pac-12. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. What say you?
I totally agree. You look at the strength of schedule. I mean, those two Pac-12 teams are in the 50s or something. And Florida State, I think, is right up there in the 50s. It's just, if they were going to truly put the four best teams in, I don't know how you can, I don't know how you can discount. Look at the thing, the telling thing is, look how disastrous, other than last year, look how disastrous the semifinal games in the playoff have been. Again, last year was okay. Georgia and Ohio State was a good game, and Michigan and TCU was close. But to me, that Michigan was just as bad because you look at what Georgia did to TCU. But right. Other than last year, the semifinal games have been awful.
Right.
It wouldn't happen if you put Georgia and Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan. That would be your four best chances of having good games. Maybe Oregon. I don't know. It's hard for me to get on board with them because they haven't played anybody. But I totally agree with you.
I absolutely agree with you on that statement. End of the day, then those are the four best teams in college football. You talked about something just a second ago that I want to bring back up, and that was past playoff games. I mean, Bill, you could argue Cincinnati-Alabama. Like, Alabama wiped the floor with Cincinnati. Did Cincinnati really deserve to be in the playoff that year? I don't think so.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. And they wouldn't have been if they truly wanted to put the four best teams in. They wouldn't have been there. But obviously that's not the case.
And I thought at the end of the day that the goal of this committee was to put the four best teams in. Apparently, it's about networks, ratings, and sideshow. It's not about putting the four best teams in. I do want to get your thoughts on a couple more things, Bill. What are your thoughts about the playoff expanding to 12 going into next year?
Well, I think it's great. I mean, imagine if we were at 12 this year. You know, we'd probably have four teams right now and, chance to go to the playoff in the SEC. And we wouldn't be worried about Alabama and Georgia. They'd both be in. I think it's great for the SEC. And I think if all the favorites win this weekend, and the committee truly does have to leave out a couple, what everybody considers as deserving teams, I think that's probably the perfect segue, into next year and having the 12-team playoff. But it's only going to help our conference, I think it's going to be, we probably have Missouri, Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia. We'd have probably four teams in it, if we were doing that this year. So I'm all for that.
For sure. Me too. I got to be honest with you, Bill. I wasn't crazy about it in the beginning when it first came out. But the more and more I think about it, the more and more excited I am about what the future of college football is going to be. But I have heard this take, Bill, that when the playoff expands, that's going to mean that games like Saturday don't matter near as much. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. And there may come a time where they just, if you're not exempt, if you're not one of those top five or six teams next year, you're going to be playing an extra game, maybe two extra games. And maybe at some point they just, they don't have the conference, they pick the conference champ based on the regular season. But let's look, there are going to be some awful games because you just think there's only three or four really, really good teams. And there's a big drop off between, let's say you go down to eight, maybe at Alabama where they're ranked. Now you go below them, to the you know, 9th through 14th, let's say, ranking, there's a huge gap there. And it's going to show in those early games with the expanded playoff. But I just think, you know, from a standpoint of, and they're probably still, even with 12, they're going to be teams to feel like they got hosed, and, you know, by not being in the playoff, just like there are when they have to pick four. But I think it'll at least get all the really, really good teams that truly have a chance to win the playoff will be in, which might not be the case this year, you know, with the four teams. I mean, they've been lucky until this year. It's shaken out pretty good every year. You know, last year Alabama may have had an argument, you know, but for the most part, it's shaken out where they haven't had too many tough decisions to make, you know, on that final selection. But I think probably I was like you. I was like, you know, just because that you know, there's always really good teams, then it's going to get watered down with those, you know, say 8 through 12 teams. But better to have all the good teams in, and, you know, maybe have some bad first and second round games, but at least get the good teams in.
No doubt, no doubt. And Bill, on that note, thank you for coming on the show this week, previewing the 2023 SEC Championship game with me, talking both Alabama, your alma mater, and the University of Georgia Bulldogs. I always enjoy your insight and perspective, my friend, and I look forward to having you on the show again soon to talk some college basketball and some more college football here. Thank you so much, sir.
Sounds good, Joe. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bill. All right.
All right, Joe.
So that was a great conversation we did with our man, Bill Van Orman, talking all things SEC Championship preview and beyond, talking a little Alabama and a little University of Georgia. I figured he would be the perfect guest this week to talk both Alabama and Georgia with his connections and his love for both schools. Bill and I go back to our days in Athens and just talking ball and hanging out. Bill's one of my, I consider Bill a very, very good friend, and I always enjoy his insight and perspective. He's got a lot of knowledge, a lot of great stories, and he's a good guy to talk ball with, for sure, on the Fan for All Seasons podcast. So, guys, I'm going to tell you about our website real quick. It's fanforallseasons.com. You can get your merchandise up at the merchandise store. You can go into the Shop Merch tab, where we've got our hoodies, sweatshirts, and t-shirts. You can snag all those, especially the hoodies and the sweatshirts and the long sleeve tees. You may want to grab those because it is cold out, so bundle up with some of your favorite podcast gear. Go to the fanforallseasons.com merchandise store on our website. Go into the Shop Merch tab. They will have all your merchandise needs met under the Shop Merch tab. If you like this podcast, if you want to know more about us, you can find us on any major podcast platform. Give us a like, give us a follow. That's Fan for All Seasons. And now, guys, it's time to get one last word from our sponsor this week. And Fan for All Seasons is brought to you in part by Georgia Smoke Barbecue, authentic original smoked barbecue catering. You can learn more at georgiasmoke.com. So for my guy, Bill Van Orman, this has been Jam and Joe, and this has been another exciting installment of the Fan for All Seasons podcast. I'll talk to you guys next week. See ya, and go Dawgs! Sick 'em! Hoo 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 hoo!